I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level, everybody. You know what I'm doing tomorrow? I'm so excited about
what?
I'm filming with Trisha for Just Trish podcast, but we're filming with my favorite YouTuber, this guy named Aphrodite. I don't know if I've ever told you about him before, but he's the pop culture psychic. I don't know if it'll be out by the time this comes out, but I'm super excited about it. He does tarot readings on YouTube, like about celebrities, and I'm so into it. And I like it becomes headcanon in my mind. Like if he says Hailey Bieber is doing this in her spare time, I totally think it's what she's doing. Like I'm just so invested. But anyway, he was in one of his videos, he was saying, my goal is to blow up on YouTube so I can go on Just Trish podcast. So I messaged Trish. I'm like, you have to have this guy on. He can do readings for us. And she recognized him because I guess he used to come to her live shows. So he's going to come on and do our readings.
Fun.
And yeah, I'm bringing crumble cookies because he also does crumble cookie reviews on his TikTok. But the crumble store is always sending like a shitty box where like the cookies all smashed or weird or something. I'm like, how do you have the one crumble that's like sending weird cookies?
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
I'm so excited. And we're dressing up as Taylor Swift in the Willow era because that's like her witchy look with like a cape.
Love.
I'm so excited.
I love it.
What are you up to this week?
Oh, I'm going home. I think I mentioned it before, but this weekend is my grandma's 105th birthday.
Oh, yeah. What are you guys doing for it?
So we're going to her old house because she lives with my mom now, but my uncle still owns the house that she lives in. So we are going there and just like 2 hours of like people coming over, kind of open house style cake and stuff. And
oh, that's fun.
The whole family. Like I think everybody's going to be there, which is also the reason I'm going home because there's some family that I like hardly ever see.
Yeah.
So, yeah, weather permitting, because there's supposed to be another storm coming in this weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And I don't think it's going to affect me. I can drive in the rain, but I think it's going to affect one of my aunts that has to come down from the mountains. Like, I don't know if she'll be able to, you know, get through it. Like the
Sierra. She'll be coming down the mountain when she comes.
Such a good song for Lodi.
I know. I love it. So we are back on Girls Will Be Ghouls.
Yes.
And we are taking the picture of Winnie in a pumpkin.
Yeah, but can I say something first? We start out by saying, in interview, I say, Winston and I both have a common interest in Halloween. We both love it. What?
I know, just like, making what? Up our animals' entire personalities.
And I love, too, this scene. Like, we're in no makeup. I'm still in my robe and my slippers, having my morning coffee.
Yeah, we don't give a fuck at this point.
No, but it's almost like you came in my room first thing in the morning and said, are you up? Oh, good. I need a picture of Wednesday.
Yeah, because I was on a mission because every Christmas I would make this janky ass animal calendar for the entire staff. I think later we started getting them like Starbucks cards too. Like you and I would get together, we'd get a list of everybody who worked at the mansion from animal staff to video staff to butlers. How many people do you think worked there total? Like 200?
I was going to say like 160 or something like that, but I don't really know.
Yeah, it was a lot of people. So for Christmas, obviously they're getting like other bonuses, I hope, like from the company.
I don't know.
They're getting the thing that Rick Pallett collected because one of the guests would collect like annual tips from all the guests and they do like a thing. But we would get them like Starbucks gift cards and make these janky. I'm telling you, these are janky looking back on it. Animal calendars. But I thought it was like, who wouldn't want to have a calendar of all the animals at the mansion?
I think they like them.
I hope so. Because I look back on it and I'm like, oh, my God, they probably thought I was so dumb.
I don't think so.
Sometimes I wonder, like, if the staff hated me and I just didn't know. Because remember when we were interviewing Marston and I was like, oh, I wonder what they said about me behind my back. And he goes, oh, I had a good idea of what they said. And I'm like, what? And then he kind of backed off and he's like, oh, no, you were just always nice. That was just the thing. And I'm like,
I know.
Something I don't know.
I know. It sounded like scary.
And you know what's weird, too, is there was this bartender named Willie. And I always thought, you know, he was fine. Like, I'm always polite to people. Like, I had a million customer service jobs before I came to the mansion. Like, I wouldn't not be polite. I was professional, though. I wasn't, like, buddying up to people, especially after I was a girlfriend. Because I just was scared of getting in trouble. But I was always polite to people. I never thought anybody would have any beef with me. But he was writing this, like, fly-on-the-wall account that somehow got back to Hef. And I ended up reading it because I think Joyce in the office was still friends with him. And he just hated me so much. And I thought it was bizarre because we barely interacted. Like, I would order drinks from him and that's it.
Yeah.
But he would say that, well, he hated Hef's second wife, Kimberly. And he would always compare me to Kimberly and say that I had a miserable face and that I was always next to Hef. So I clearly had an agenda and I was just as miserable as Kimberly and just awful. And I was horrified.
Yeah.
And I know that's a reflection of him and not me, but I was just, it's just so weird to find out that somebody that you thought you got along fine with just hates you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's devastating.
It really is.
And then it makes you feel like you don't fully understand the way people are perceiving you, you know?
Absolutely. And then you wonder, like, who else thinks that? Like, I just happen to know that because this guy, like, wrote a manuscript.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
And I remember I was so upset about it. And I told Hef about it. And he was like friends with you. Like you guys would talk on Fun in the Sun. And he had a lot of really nice things to say about you. And Hef was like, well, he just doesn't know you. Like if he got to know you, he'd probably like you. But I was so disturbed by it.
Yeah, I would be too.
It was weird. So anyhow, there's a jack-o'-lantern pumpkin, probably from pumpkin night. And I thought it'd be so cute if we could take a picture of Winnie and the pumpkin. So we're kind of holding her in it. And please tell me that they're adding all the whining noises.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Because I was like, I don't think we'd really do that. Like, she's kind of like kicking a little bit. Like, you can tell she's confused. Like, why the fuck are they sticking me in a pumpkin? But I don't think we would have been forcing the issue if she'd been making those noises.
No, never. For sure not.
So
no.
I'm like, God, please tell me those are added.
Yeah, no, but there was not really anywhere for her to get her footing. Like, she didn't know.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell her what I wanted from her, like to just like sit there for a second, but she finally did.
Yeah, and it was a really cute photo.
I'm so, like, I feel like, I think about this sometimes. I feel like how, like, that was almost a miracle that that happened.
To get that shot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you got lucky. Because she only stayed in that position perfectly for a split second.
And those digital cameras, like, aren't the quickest.
Right.
It's not like a phone, like, click. It's like you kind of have to hold it down for, like, a hair of a second and
gotta
wait for the click. I mean, I know it's just a split second, but it's not as instant as, like, an iPhone photo would be.
Right. And so, like, and then you have to wait for, like, and this is only a second, too. Wait for it to come up on the screen, whether we got it or not. So when we find out that we got it, that is truly, like, elation. Like, I'm so excited that we got it.
Yeah. Then I think the next scene is we're in your room.
Yeah, I start pulling through books because I have lots and lots and lots of haunted books, murder books, like just all that. My whole library in my room is very dark books. And I pull out Encyclopedia of Haunted Places. I remember I loved that encyclopedia.
Oh, I loved books like that. I still have a book. It's probably over here in my office of just like sites you could go to in Hollywood. It wasn't necessarily spooky. Like a lot of it was just because most of the people we're talking about are dead. Mm-hmm. But it was just like places to go in Hollywood, like where movie stars lived and different sites and things like that. And we're about to go on this tour that you guys will see. And it was very elaborate because of like how we traveled, but it wasn't too different from what you and I would kind of do on an average day. Like we would be like, oh, I want to go see the Spanish Kitchen restaurant because it's supposed to be haunted. Or
yeah.
I want to go see this place, or let's go drive by Joan Crawford's old house, you know?
Yeah, totally.
It was our hobby.
So I say in interview, I'm interested to see if the girls want to go with me on a tour in a hearse to all the haunted places in Hollywood for a paranormal homework assignment. And it shows me sitting at my computer and you're on the bed. And I think this is the first time, other than Elvira being in my room, that you were seeing the round bed, the new configuration in the room. You know what, you guys? I just think you guys might think this is interesting. I got that bed on IKEA at IKEA.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Anyway, I say this haunted tour. You'll see the homes and hotel. I'm reading about all the different things that people offer on the tours and stuff like that. And then in interview, I say, I love LA and it's known for mystery and scandal and murder. And it's known to be one of the most haunted locations in the world. But I feel like that was a little bit Frankenbited.
Yeah, there's a lot of Frankenbiting in this episode.
Yeah. And then I'm talking about Marilyn Monroe that we can go. And it says that they take you on this tour to see where Marilyn Monroe breathed her last breath and then pay your respects at this icon's final resting place. And then it cuts to Holly.
Okay, so I thought this was so weird because producers were very excited and had kind of predetermined that we were definitely going to go to Marilyn Monroe's grave, which is also the future site of Hef's grave because he purchased the crypt next to her, or not do you call it a crypt when it's just like the one slot? Or is a crypt has to be the whole house of slots?
I don't know.
The whole wall unit. He purchased the whole wall unit where he was going to go. And I just remember thinking that was kind of a fucked up ask. And the show like was so enthusiastic about it. Kevin was so enthusiastic about it. It was like predetermined we were going to do it. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. I thought it was creepy and weird because this is like the person I'm with and like that's where he's going to be buried. And what are people going to think of us when we go? Like we're sitting there like waiting for him to die, or are they expecting me to have an emotional reaction at it?
Yeah.
I just felt like it was so inappropriate on so many levels. I'm like, I'm not fucking going to that grave.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in an interview, I say that Holly does not want to go to the Marilyn Monroe gravesite because Hef is going to be buried next to her and she doesn't want to see that. And not that she doesn't want to see it because it's next to Marilyn Monroe, but she doesn't want to think of that, period.
Yeah. And it's just a weird thing to be watched doing. Like, mm-hmm. How do people expect you to act? I just felt like it was odd.
Yeah. And then I say, well, I knew you probably didn't want to do that, so we can customize it how we want. So we changed the whole tour and did it more Black Dahlia themed.
Yeah.
But not entirely. There were other things that we did too, but the theme of it was heavily Black Dahlia.
Yeah.
So I start reading about all the Black Dahlia stuff, and it's, for in case you don't know, it's one of Hollywood's most famous unsolved murders, still is. And I had recently just finished reading the book about her. If you guys haven't read this book, it's really good. It's called The Black Dahlia Avenger, and it's by Steve Hodell. And he used to be a detective, I think.
Yeah.
And he thinks that his father, Steve Hodell, did the murder. And did you know that there's a podcast right now with George Hodell's grandkids?
Oh, Root of Evil. Is that the one you're talking about?
I think so.
Root of Evil. If you guys want to know more about the Black Dahlia case or about the Hodells, really, really good, but also trigger warning, disturbing. Like there's some child abuse stuff in there that's like hard to listen to. Like it's not like they go into like explicit stuff, but they say enough that it's like really disturbing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the grandkids of George Hodell. Yeah. So it's really, really interesting, but they truly believe that he did it. And not only do they think he did it, but they think he did it in the house on Franklin. And we go to that house. We don't get to go inside, but we take photos from the outside because it's a very strange looking house.
Yeah, it's a Mayan revival. So it looks kind of like, you know, ancient Mayan style. Mm-hmm. I'm fascinated with that house. I wanted to shoot there when I worked at the Playboy studio so bad. And we had booked it for a centerfold shoot. But at the time, the owners were leasing it to a psychic who charged $25,000 a day, allegedly. Who the fuck is booking that psychic?
Yeah.
But we were all set to go. And then at the last minute, she canceled on us because she found out there was nudity involved and she thought it would ruin the vibe. And I was so annoyed, but also jealous because after I left, Arnie got to shoot there. He shot a centerfold at that house. Yeah.
Well, for those of you that don't know, it's also called the Soden House, and it's a very paranormal hotspot.
Yeah. Zach said that was one of the craziest episodes there.
Patty says that too. Yeah. I've always had a pet peeve about like all these diet ads and diet teas and like weight loss things. Like I even said on here when we do ads, like I don't want to do them for like weight loss teas and things like that. Because I always believe that, you know, it's a lot of hard work and eating and moderation and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes you just need like a little bit more to make your body perfect.
Yeah. Body contouring is a little different than the health aspect. I think there's some times when diet and exercise just aren't going to target that one little pouch or whatever. And I think that's a realistic thing to talk about. Sonobello is the only way to permanently lose unwanted fat and inches.
Sonobello doctors are masters in micro laser fat removal.
Wherever you have stubborn fat, tummy, sides, thighs, arms,
smile, it's going away permanently in one visit.
Ask about their modern techniques to eliminate sagging, loose skin. No more feeling embarrassed, shy, and uncomfortable about your body.
No more hiding in baggy clothes.
No more lights off, darkened room, pretending it's more intimate.
Give yourself that gift of a full body reset. You deserve to be happy.
Schedule your free consultation. Learn all about micro laser fat removal. Sonobello is running a great special right now. Visit sonobello.com/next level. sonobello.com/next level.
But I love that it shows too how I'm like researching things and I got the books out and I got the computer going and I'm writing lists and everything because that's so me right there.
It's just an authentic day.
It really is. Like, I feel like it really captured what I do.
Did we go to the Biltmore? Was that one of the places we went?
We definitely went to the Biltmore and they don't show that. I don't think we were allowed to film there. Mm-hmm. So then the next scene, I pull up to George Barris's.
You know what I think is so funny is you say you're looking for a spooky car and eventually we get a spooky car, but it cuts from you saying you want a spooky car and then you go straight to ordering bunny rims. So like for a second, it doesn't make sense.
I thought that too.
I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, they don't even build up that I'm going there for two reasons. Mm-hmm. I go there, I pull up in my Porsche, I'm hugging George in an interview. I say, George Barris is the ultimate car customizing guy.
He's also the ultimate dress up in a spandex Robin onesie, and you can see the outline of his dick at the party.
Totally.
Sorry, I tell that. That's the only thing I can think of when I think of George Barris because it was just so unexpected.
Yeah. And he also spells everything with a K. So car is spelled with a K and customized is spelled with a K and stuff. And I wrote in my notes that he was doing that before the Kardashians.
Oh, visionary.
And if you don't know who he is, he did the Batmobile, the Munsters coach. I mean, he even had like, I don't know if it's just a replica or what, but James Dean's old car in there because I've heard that it's a mystery where James Dean's, that there was all these accidents with all the parts that were used from his
car.
There
were. Zach has the last piece of it at the museum. It's just like the axle from it, but they can't find the rest of it. It's completely missing.
Well, supposedly somebody took it and like buried it somewhere.
Buried it? Oh my God.
Yeah, but I don't know, but it's crazy. But there's at least a replica. And then I asked George if he'll customize some rims for me. I want bunny rims. I wanted a Playboy bunny in the middle with like a red rhinestone eye. And they had the people there and we did the whole thing. It was amazing. They turned out incredible.
Yeah, they were cute.
I think there's another episode that comes out where
yeah,
I actually
later
get
season,
them.
Yeah.
So then I turn around and he said, and here's the Cargoyle to use for the Paranormal tour.
So the Cargoyle is a hearse from what? It's not the Munsters coach, obviously. What is the Cargoyle
no,
from?
No, I think it's just something he custom built. I don't think it's from anything in particular. I could be wrong, but I don't think it is.
Oh, just a spooky, spooky hearse.
Yeah.
And that was so weird and uncomfortable to ride around in. I don't even think there were seat belts, were there? We were like half sitting, half laying, half hunched in there. You'll see it later in a shot. But
yeah,
that was the first thing I thought of when they showed this Cargoyle. I was like, that was really awkward to ride around in.
It was. And George is, and we're sitting in the back seat and George is like, oh, I really want to go with you girls. I want to sit back here with you girls.
Oh, I bet he did. I bet he did. Show us your dick. Just kidding.
And in commentary, you say something that, and I don't know if you inspired me to think this or if I just thought it too, but you say that Volkswagen should make a hybrid Beetle. And I've always wondered why they weren't more on the forefront of things. Like I always thought of them as like the hippie cars and stuff. And I always thought that if anybody, they were going to be the first ones to do like an electric car or a car that runs on solar panels or something.
One would think.
Yeah. And I just think it's interesting because we both have thought about that before. And we talk about how the hearse really brought out a lot of freaks, that everybody was like trying to stop us and wanted to check out the car and had comments on it. So then the next scene shows me putting on my schoolgirl Playboy costume.
And that was a Playboy branded costume. And obviously we'd modeled for like the first run of the costumes already as we're filming this. But there would be a couple more years, at least one more year when we're doing it. And I'm, as you'll see later, wearing like the Jackie Ho costume. And they ended up making that as a Playboy costume later.
Yeah. So I see in our, in my scrapbooking stuff, our catalog comes out in like September.
Yeah.
So I have that in there. So I'll post that on our Patreon too. So in interview, I say I look for any excuse to dress up because this was a Halloween tour and I decided to wear my Playboy sexy scholar schoolgirl costume. Shows me getting into the costume. And I've asked my dog this a million times, but I really wish they knew how to zip.
Oh, I know. I hate anytime I'm getting dressed and I like need help with something.
Yeah.
Oof, I hate it.
And you're in your Jackie Ho costume.
Yeah, I designed it at Trashy. It's a take on the famous pink Chanel suit Jackie Kennedy wore. But it's like, you know, we always have to do slutty Halloween costumes. So it's the sexy version. So, of course, I named it Jackie Ho. And I remember I got this weird like hate letter after this episode came out because they're asking me to elaborate on why I wanted to dress up as this. And I'm joking and I say, oh, well, she's the first lady and I'm the first lady of the Playboy Mansion. I'm just trying to say something like cute and catchy.
Yeah.
But somebody out there took me real seriously and they wrote me this hate letter saying how they needed to slap some sense into me because I'm nothing like her and never will be. I'm not saying I'm like her. Oh my God. But I will say, and I'm going to sound like the Megan Fox girl on Love is Blind, but since high school, there have been people who tell me I look like Jackie Kennedy, but now online people say she's ugly and she eats sheet metal.
Wait, what? There's too many things here. Wait. So the Love is Blind girl.
Remember, Megan don't Fox? You watch those shows?
Yeah. So the
and there's
girl,
a girl who said she looked like Megan Fox. And
right.
People
okay.
Are like,
so that girl, what about her?
Well, just like people think she doesn't really look like Megan Fox. So I'm making fun of myself and saying that I'm in high school. People used to tell me I look like Jackie Kennedy and people are going to be like, you look nothing like her. What the fuck are you talking about? So that's the parallel.
Well, you look nothing like her, but what was the eating sheet metal?
Okay, so this is like a Gen Z TikTok thing. All of a sudden, like Jackie Kennedy, who people always thought was a beautiful woman up until recently, people are finding like these ugly pictures of her and are just like, oh, no wonder he was sleeping with Marilyn Monroe on the side. And oh, she looks like she eats sheet metal. And like, that's the joke now is that she eats sheet metal.
Interesting.
So I'm like personally offended. So, but I also think I'm nothing like her and did not deserve that hate letter. So,
well, let me back up and say, I've never thought you looked anything like her.
I was told that in high school. I think it's like a face shape thing.
That's bizarre to me. And secondly, I know people always like talk about how pretty she is. I never really thought that. No hate on her. Like, great. She had amazing style.
Are you on the sheet metal train?
I don't know if I'm on the sheet metal train, but I always thought she wasn't particularly attractive.
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah. I don't think I would have ever verbalized that until now, though. Like, for... So then it cuts to Kendra.
Can we back up and just be equal opportunity here? There was also a lady on TikTok who was a teacher and saying how she was telling her kids that in the 60s, John F. Kennedy was considered really hot. And she showed the picture, she showed the class, and the class just was not having it. They're like, absolutely not. This guy's not hot. I don't get it. And she's like, I'm really having a hard time convincing my class he was hot.
Yeah, I never thought he was particularly that hot either. I mean, it's all relative, right? Like for a president, okay, as the presidents go, maybe he's like one of the top ones, but that's like not a high bar.
Yeah, I think he was running against Richard Nixon at the time. So it's like, yeah, JFK so like, was the hot one.
Yeah.
But also I think beauty standards just have changed so rapidly in the last couple decades. Like even now, like you look at people who are considered like the most beautiful actresses of the 90s. And when people showcase them on Instagram now, they'll put face app over like young Gwyneth Paltrow or something because today the beauty standard is filters and like all this ridiculous shit.
Right.
So I think it's just time like warps us so much and just...
Filters have warped us.
Yeah. And by today's standards, everybody was ugly back in the day.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So that was a whole knotted ball of yarn talking about, where was I? Jackie Ho costume.
So then it shows Kendra getting ready because it's got to be a contrast.
I have to say, I do like the graphic tee she picked out for the day, though.
I thought it was good. Yeah. She throws on some jeans and this graphic tee that says, go to hell.
But it's like, written in like bloody writing.
But she's got like was it bloody writing or was it like flame writing?
I thought it was kind of like vaguely bloody. Like it was a black shirt with like red lettering.
Yeah.
Vaguely bloody.
But she kind of really says it with attitude. Like I think they were kind of giving her shit for not dressing up. Not us. We don't care.
I don't think anyone expected her to dress up except.
But I feel like the producers were trying to get her to do something. Mm-hmm. And so she pulled out that t-shirt.
You know what I'm so enthusiastic about? One of my favorite things. Vitamins, supplements, gut health, immunity. I love improving my fitness, metabolism. I stopped focusing so much on weight and more worrying about like digestion and bloating. I feel like that's more the thing for me. I recently discovered an incredible product, Armra Colostrum. Armor Colostrum is a proprietary concentrate of bovine colostrum that harnesses over 400 living, bioactive nutrients that strengthen the barriers of your body and fuel cellular health for thousands of research-backed health benefits. It strengthens immunity, ignites metabolism, fortifies gut health, activates hair growth and skin radiance, powers fitness performance and recovery, and confers powerful anti-aging benefits. Armor Colostrum is a premium bovine colostrum concentrate, and unlike any other product on the market, it is uniquely optimized for human health, sustainable, and was developed with the highest integrity from start to finish. I actually have it in my tea over here. I'm drinking
Do
right
you?
Now. Yeah, it's so good. So this product reactivates hair growth and gives you glowing skin. It fortifies gut health and ignites metabolism. It also fuels fitness, performance, and recovery. Because if I'm going to spend the time working out, I want to get the full performance and recovery.
Yes, I can't wait.
Do it.
We've worked out a special offer for our audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarma.com/next level or enter next level to get 15% off your first order. That's tryarma.com/next level. And then we go walking down to the office.
And Mary looks at my costume and says, "That's the death suit."
Is that what she says?
Yeah. Did you know that the real pink Jackie Kennedy suit is like in storage and it's never been washed? It still has like pieces of brain and blood and stuff in it.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, it's crazy. And did you know it's like a Chanel suit, but it had to be like assembled in the U.S. because she was the first lady and she had to wear like American-made clothes?
Interesting. No, I did not.
I double check that before I leave that in. I fact check myself, but
I did not know that.
Interesting.
I think it's funny because I feel like it did take Norma a second to recognize who you are. I'm like, "Norma, have you met my friend Jackie?" And she was like, "Oh my God."
You know what's so funny? When I was talking about making this costume, it had the little pillbox hat and Hef was like, "Yeah, that stupid hat she wore." He really hated the pillbox hat. He had a real hatred. I thought that was odd.
That is so weird.
I don't think he was into like mid-century women's fashion, really. I know he didn't like after the war, they had like the Christian Dior new look, which was like long skirts, heavy fabrics, nothing had to be rationed anymore. And he didn't like the covered up look.
That reminds me, I know we're late to the party, but Nick and I are watching Capote and the Swans right now.
Oh yeah, I just started that too.
And they, you know, his famous masquerade ball that he did, and they're showing, they're showing footage. It's the show, but it makes it look like they're showing footage of the real event. And they were all wearing like this super, like lots of fabric, long, really not attractive stuff.
Yeah.
Which is such a shame because I just feel like that party was so incredible. Like, I would have loved to have gone to that party.
The one I'm fascinated with is like the Rothschild masquerade ball. Have you seen that one? Where everybody's wearing these weird, like, headdresses that look like Picasso cubist weird like animal heads.
No, I haven't seen that.
And I'm fascinated by it because clearly somebody was custom making the stuff and it all kind of looks like they kind of went to the same place almost.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But as we're talking to Norma, we see the hearse pull up the driveway and out gets Tony in his cape.
And I say, he's dressed up worse than us.
And Norma's like, "I don't know if you girls should go with that guy."
He was funny. Who was that guy? Because he's like jumping in front of us and they put like fake screams over it.
Yeah, he worked for George. He was like one of their drivers that would deliver the custom cars. I don't know what else he did for them. He probably had more jobs than just that. But I just know that part of Adam and I met him over there. And I thought he was so funny.
He was funny.
He's a real character. Like,
yeah,
he was 100% just like that. So much energy. They kind of make it look like he's our tour guide or somebody says he's our tour guide, but he's not, because I actually hired Scott Michaels from Dearly Departed to come and give us the actual tour.
And is this the first time you're meeting him on camera?
It's the first time I'm meeting him ever, but I had been talking to him on the phone to plan this trip and emailing and that kind of stuff. But this is the first time I'm actually meeting him.
That's so weird to me because you've been friends with him for so long and I didn't realize this is the first time you guys met.
Yeah. So you guys, it's incredible because we're still friends to this day. So two people in this episode that I met back then and I'm still friends with now.
That's so cool.
I think so too.
And then we climb in the hearse and we're going away and there's a voice overlay that's Kendra saying, how do you spell hearse? H-E-R-S or something like that. Like, yeah. And I'm like, did they ask her to say that? Like, what, it just seemed odd and weird. And why would she, was she texting?
I think she was texting and was telling somebody we're in a hearse right yeah. now and wanted to know how to spell it.
As we're heading down to the site where the Black Dahlia's body was found, I'm explaining what happened to the Black Dahlia in my confessional. And I'm explaining it in a very strange, insensitive, infantilized way. And I was like, why am I explaining it like that? Because I'm like, she was cut up and just... I forget what I say, but it's very weird.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking I must have been doing that because there was just no room for seriousness on this show and everything was a cartoon and had to be explained like you're talking to a 5-year-old. Because I sound like I'm trying to explain a gruesome murder to a 5-year-old is what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
It's really strange.
Did you notice they use the fake Unsolved Mysteries music all through this too? They're like,
no, but I love it.
Yeah. So we get to the site where the Dahlia's body was found. We do photos there.
And when her body was actually found, there were no houses there. It was just an empty field. And a mom was walking her son to school and she saw something in the field that she thought was a mannequin. So she went to go look and it was a person who had been completely cut in half, very brutally
drained of all her
murdered.
Blood.
Yeah. Like
in a different
slashed
location.
Across the face. It was really bad. Yeah.
Yeah. They carved like a smile in her face.
Have you seen like her morgue photos? Mm-hmm. So disturbing.
It's really scary.
Yeah.
The next stop we do is George Hodel's house that we were just talking about. It was the Mayan revival home. We stop there, do the photos. It's a freaky looking house. There's no question.
It's very imposing for sure.
And have you ever looked it up to see the photos inside? Like what it looks like? The layout is weird. Like I couldn't imagine like actually living there as your home.
Do you remember the movie The Aviator? They shot part of that there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It just seems very cold and uninviting, just even in the photos.
It really does, yeah.
And then I say in interview, I love anything that has to do with a mystery and scandal and murder, and I'm fascinated by it. And when it is unsolved, you can try and be the detective and figure it out yourself, which I think is one of the things that's fascinating about most true crime. Obviously, not all true crime. A lot of it has the ending solved for you, but I do find it fascinating when there's like an unsolved case. Like, I just want to be the one to solve it. Like, you feel that desire. You can tell there's so many, and I know I'm not alone in that because there's so many people online who love to try and figure out a case.
Do you want to hear a weird mystical story?
Yes.
So this was back like October, November. I was getting ready to film Lethally Blonde. I had like all my research ready to go. I was driving from LA to Vegas. I was going to dig into it as soon as I got to Vegas. And I, you know, typed in my address in Waze. Obviously, I know how to get there, but just depending on traffic, there's a couple different ways you can get to Vegas. There's a couple different freeways you can take to the 15.
Oh,
there's
can I also interject?
Yeah.
Every time I leave here or come here, I put in my address, either your address or my home address.
Just to try to beat traffic?
Yeah, because it'll tell me the quickest way to get home. Because obviously there's other ways I can do it. So I always do it. It'll tell me if there's an accident. So I don't care if I know it like the back of my hand.
Yeah.
I always put it in.
Totally.
Anyway.
So there's a couple different freeway options you can take to get to the 15. Those are the basic ways. Sometimes if shit is really crazy, like on the Cajon Pass, they'll send you like out to Palmdale and then you take Pear Blossom Highway. That's the outlier. That's the weird one.
Yeah.
To the 15. But this time when I was driving out, Waze, and I think I was like driving on a Friday or some day when it legitimately would have had like really bad traffic. So I didn't think this was so far out of bounds. I was just trusting Waze, however it wanted to send me. And it sent me a way I have never been before. Like it sent me out to Pasadena, then through the Angeles Forests to Pear Blossom Highway, then to the 15. But it had never sent me that way before. And I'm driving out there and I'm like, this is so strange and different, and it's pretty out here. It was still daylight, so I could see everything. I just thought it was so weird. Traffic must be awful everywhere else. Why am I being seen this way? And then I remember seeing this really beautiful bridge that really made an impression on me. Wow, that's so cool. So I get home, I'm opening up like my research and everything, and one of them was a case about a woman named Kimberly Pandelios who was found murdered in the Angeles Forests. And later when they found some of her belongings, like a journal and some items of clothes, it was found under that bridge I passed by. And I'm like, that just gave me chills. And I almost feel like I was sent that way on purpose.
That because it was crazy. Such a weird, got a chill too.
It was such a weird coincidence. Like, I've never been sent that way before. I didn't even know that was a route I could take after all these years of driving back and forth between LA and Vegas.
And it's a weird route. Like, when you're doing it, like, the whole time I'm going, this has to be wrong.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very weird way.
Yeah. And I wouldn't recommend anyone go that way, because the whole time I was going, I was feeling like, if I broke down, this wouldn't be good. Or if I got a flat tire, this wouldn't be good. Like, there's nowhere that feels, the road is very windy. There's nowhere that feels very safe to turn off. There's nothing close by. I just felt like this feels dangerous.
Yeah.
And then I learned that it is.
That's so creepy.
Yeah.
So then it has us going off to the next location, and we go to the comedy store, and I'm reading in the car about what the building used to be used for, that it was all the famous Ciro's nightclub, and that the ghosts date back to the days of Hollywood celebrities when mobsters frequented the place. In an interview, Holly says Ciro's was taken over by Mitzi Shore and turned into the comedy store, and her son Polly Shore, who you guys might recognize, was nice enough to give us a tour.
I love comedy store lore. So supposedly there's a secret passage from the comedy store that leads to like a house behind it.
Up on the hill. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so crazy from like the Ciro's days. And I love how they had like the Ciro's like memorabilia, like the booth and the sign when we went down there.
I can't believe they still had that stuff. I think that's so cool.
And I know we didn't have any experiences when we were there, but that place is legitimately haunted.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so many people have stories from that place. Mm-hmm. And it's just like such a cool, like, it was always like, sometimes we would go out to a comedy club now and again, like with Hef.
Yeah.
And that was always by far my favorite place to go. I felt like there was something like eerie about it. It had the most style. Like, I even like their neon signs in there. Like, I just really liked it.
Yeah. I've gone back since and did a private tour with Polly. Well, not Polly himself, but he had this guy that works there give me a tour. And it was so elaborate and so extensive. I was like, it was amazing.
Yeah. It's so cool.
All the stories and everything. Get ready for the season ahead with quality shades built to last.
Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company offering a world-class product rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. I'm obsessed with mine. They're the perfect shape. They're this aqua blue black kind of tortoise shell pattern, and it's actually made with recycled plastic.
Oh, I love it.
So I feel good about it.
Yeah, and they have lost and broken protection. If your shades go MIA or take a hit, don't sweat it. They've got lost and broken protection, so you're covered from day one. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence, because they have your back long after your purchase.
They have hassle-free shipping and returns. If you don't love your shades, exchange or return them worry-free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop.
Exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Head to ShadyRays.com and use code NEXTLEVEL for $20 off Polaroid sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. And then I do feel like there's a weird sensation I feel in there.
Probably.
And then Polly starts acting like he's experiencing something too, but I'm like not buying it in any way. I'm like, no, you're not feeling it.
And I say in the interview, I think the scariest thing on our tour was Polly.
I think you're right.
So funny.
But we love Polly.
Yeah, totally. We're just giving him shit.
Yeah.
Have I ever told you what my favorite blind item is?
What?
Okay, blind items. You guys know what a blind item is. We did a whole moment on it. So my favorite blind item, this comes from Crazy Days and Nights. And just to preface, I don't think it's true, because I did some research and like the timelines on certain things don't add up. But a blind item will be a story somebody's telling and the people aren't in the story aren't named.
Yeah.
But there's clues given and then people at the bottom try to guess who it is. And sometimes Crazy Days and Nights will reveal who it is. But this blind item story was, okay, allegedly a Nepo baby comedian who was in movies and a brat in Hollywood. I don't remember the words they used. I'm just like paraphrasing. Was hiring an escort from a prominent Hollywood escort service. Like, they were saying this is a Heidi Fleiss girl.
Yeah.
And she was his favorite girl. And he was like being rough with the girl, like, which I don't think this is true, which back up. It's just the story is so bizarre. That's why it's my favorite blind item, but I'm not trying to say this happened. So allegedly he was like being really rough with the girl, but there were other big wigs in the movie industry who would also hire that girl. And she was a lot of people's favorite girl. And they found out this guy was being rough with her to the point where the madam was like, I'm not sending that girl to you anymore. But they decided to give him one more chance. She goes over. He is rough with her again. So the studio guys, who also felt this was their favorite girl, sent like a hitman to his house to like rough him up. They tied him in a bag, tied him to the Hollywood sign and let him sit there. And then they were dropping clues to like give away who these people were, like, oh, and then the girl was more successful in films. All of a sudden, he wasn't in movies anymore. And the girl all of a sudden became a movie star. And supposedly it was like Pauly Shore was the guy who was being rough with the escort. The escort was allegedly Denise Richards. But it doesn't. And it was she was a Heidi Fleiss girl, supposedly. But it doesn't add up. Like the timeline of the story didn't add up. Because when you look at when Denise Richards' first movie came out and when Pauly's last movie came out, like it wasn't a direct switch off. And yeah. Then Heidi Fleiss was arrested like way back when Pauly was still doing movies and she was put out of business like way, way before like Denise started doing movies. So like the timeline doesn't add up, but that story is so wild. And just picturing him being tied in a bag to the Hollywood sign.
Yeah.
That's why I say it's my favorite blind item, because it's so fucking weird, but I don't think it's true.
Huh. Okay.
That was a wild ride.
It was. I'm like, well, I'm trying to digest all of that, thinking it through.
Yeah,
like,
nobody named in that. Don't get mad at me. That was just people were trying to guess who you were, and I don't think it's true. So
our next stop is the Alexandria Hotel. And I say it has all the perfect elements of creepiness to it. And when we get there, okay, by the way, the Alexandria Hotel is a hotel in downtown LA. It's very historic, been there forever. I think it used to be home to like a lot of big fancy parties. Mm-hmm. The ballroom, which you're going to see on the show, is incredible. But we meet this guy named Marty, who like gives us the tour.
And when I talk about him, I say that our contact was really enthusiastic, and I love enthusiastic people. And that is the truth even to this day. Even before I rewatched this episode, I was just thinking of this the other day, how my favorite fucking thing in the world is enthusiastic people.
Yeah.
People who are enthusiastic about shit. Like, I'm so over people who are like too cool for school and they're like above it all and they don't like anything. Like, I fucking love. That's why like one of the first times we met when you were in the costume and you're handing out the Jack Daniels, I'm like, who is this person? Because I just love enthusiastic people are my favorite fucking thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
To this day.
Yeah. I need people that have passion and love life.
Yes.
But one, a funny story about him.
Oh.
Well, it's not that funny, but yeah. Like an interesting story about him. So I'm watching this and Nick goes, I know that guy.
Really?
What?
Yeah. Random. From where?
He went to high school with him.
Oh my God. That's funny.
And I said, well, I was always curious, who is he? Because like, does he work for the hotel? And he's like, no, he was a locations manager.
Oh,
so like for when movies? People were filming.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you guys don't know, there's a location manager that's hired for TV and film and stuff like that. And they are familiar with like a billion locations. So if you say, I need an empty field, but I can see Los Angeles skyline in the background, they know where to take uh-huh. you. You want an old creepy hotel, they know where to take you. So they just kind of know all of those things and they set up all the filming rights and like paperwork and all that kind of stuff. So he was a location manager, but I was telling him how much fun we thought he was and yeah. stuff like that. He's like, it's just so weird.
He was totally fun. And I love the exchange between him and Kendra in the ballroom where he's saying everything is 100 years old. And Kendra goes, do they ever think about redoing this? And he goes, everything here is 100 years old. It's just a funny cut. Like as if that explains yeah. anything.
Yeah.
He goes, definitely 100 years old.
Yeah.
And then we're going down to the basement and Kendra goes, I'm more afraid of diseases down here than anything. Yeah.
And it was pretty gross down there. And there's a lot of water and mm-hmm. it smells moldy and it smells like, you know, old tunnel basement stuff.
Yeah. And you're mentioning that used to be part of the underground tunnels that were under downtown LA connecting. Tell me more about these tunnels because I'm fascinated.
Well, I don't know tons about them, but I just know it's like the Prohibition era type stuff where they would smuggle in alcohol. And supposedly a lot of the stuff is connected down there or used to be connected down there. I don't know how much it still is.
So a lot of it's been closed off, but you can still go down to parts of it.
Yeah, because we were Whoa. Walking down there.
Yeah.
We were in it. Remember, we went to the boiler room at first, but then we went down into the tunnels and we were in there and they just kept going. There's no lights or anything. It was pitch black. And obviously we don't have time to like go explore this, but yeah.
Do you think they're trafficking tunnels?
No.
Because somebody out there is going to think they're trafficking tunnels.
Well, there's not even, there's, first of all, there's not really, well, I don't know where you can access them unless you know how to get the building.
Do you think they used to be trafficking tunnels?
No, trafficking alcohol. Oh, that's what I think. There's no lights. There's no sign that anybody's been down there for, you know, a long time. Like, I don't think that they're used for anything today. I don't even think that they fully go through. Like, I would love to be able to investigate them more. But I feel like at some point you're just going to reach a dead end where somebody didn't want anybody to access their building from that and walled it off. But I think that they were definitely from Prohibition. And I think a lot of cities have this.
Well, Paris did, you know, that were used during World War II. That's why the Georges Sank had, you know, the wine cellar was in the tunnels.
But I mean, like even Portland and...
Well, Portland, people were trafficked in those tunnels.
For the workers?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't think that was the case. But I'm just saying, like, for LA, I don't think that was the case. But I mean, who knows? I don't know. It wasn't there.
Yeah, we don't know. It's crazy. You know what my favorite game is? You
know it. I do.
June's Journey. No, I love it. It makes me laugh because I feel like this game was made for us, though. Everything about it.
So many things.
The fact that it's set in the 1920s. Mm-hmm. It's gorgeous to look at. Mm-hmm. The plot of it is you solve a murder mystery.
Yep.
And there's even like brain teaser type things like hidden object games that are easy enough to be fun, but have challenging enough hidden objects that I'm sitting there really trying to figure it out. And I love it. It's just easy on your mobile phone. You can do it while you're waiting at the airport for your plane. It's just so relaxing and fun. You know what else it includes? Interior design.
Right.
Which we love. You can design your own mansion. I love it. Your own island estate.
June's Journey is the thrilling adventure you've been waiting for. It's a murder mystery, uncover scandalous family secrets, set in the glamorous world of the 1920s.
Can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
And then there's this like red, I don't know which language it actually is, but it looks like Chinese writing. Mm-hmm. And I thought it looked creepy because red looks like blood when you're in that mindset.
Yeah. And I took a picture with you in front of it and it shows it on the show. But I saw that picture like yesterday and it's so cute.
Yeah, it is a cute picture. And then this is another Captain Morgan sponsoring the show. It shows the picture, but then it changes the writing to say the captain was here. And it draws like the Captain Morgan mustache and beard on me.
I know. I was like, that's weird.
So funny.
The ballroom, you guys, this is where Kendra and him are having the banter about it being 100 years old, was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. I don't even feel like the cameras did it justice, but I have some pictures that I feel like do better justice on it. But it was so pretty.
We'll put them on Patreon.
Yeah, for sure. And remember that big snafu that Kendra had with Eminem?
Oh, is that happening at this time?
No. Well, no, it already happened because it happened at this hotel.
Oh.
I don't think it shows it, but my pictures have it. We go to the, there's like a nightclub, an old nightclub.
Like the old bar that's like in the middle of the hotel.
And I think she says that's where that happened.
Yeah, I remember that now that you say that. She was in an Eminem video and I guess allegedly during the middle of the video shoot for no reason, he went over and dumped water on her.
Yeah, a bottle of water.
So strange.
And then do you remember, they don't show this on the show at all, but we went up to what was supposed to be Rudy Valentino's bedroom.
Yeah, Rudolph Valentino is one of the three busiest ghosts in Hollywood. Between him, Marilyn Monroe, and Charlie Chaplin, they are everywhere if you listen to any haunted tour guide in LA. Mm-hmm. So did he actually stay there?
I mean, according to our tour guide, he did. Marty said so, but I don't know if that's true or not.
He's just so everywhere. I get a little skeptical with those three names because they just wipe their asses all over LA, I guess.
But do you remember how run down everything was?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And like people were living there.
Yeah.
Not just staying there as a hotel. And then do you know the story about how it was boarded up? There's another part of it.
Well, I was going to ask you, is it worth telling the story about how there's the weird, creepy part of the hotel that no one can access anymore?
Yes, because I think that's fascinating.
Try to explain that in a way that makes sense without a visual.
So there's another wing of the hotel, and there was like a fight between like the owners and stuff and who owned what. So they split it up and then they put up a wall. And then, but then the person was never able to access their side of the hotel. And supposedly they've made it partially glass so you can see in there, which I would kill to see, but everything was left in there. And supposedly there's like all this like, the toiletries and clothes and old suitcases and the furniture, everything is from like, I want to say it was like, was it the 40s?
I don't know, but isn't it like impossible to even get in there? Like you'd have to be like dropped from a helicopter or something.
Yeah. And then even then, because I've asked, like, is there any way you can like, you know, enter from there? And they said, even then it's been so exposed to the elements for so many years that there's no way you could trust your footing on any of the, on anything. Like there's no way anybody could. So it's a ghost building. You can see the whole wing of it outside. It's crazy. But supposedly there's one of the floors where there's like a glass wall and you can see in there.
Whoa.
Which I think is fascinating. And I've tried to like go and look at that and I can't get access to it. So whether it truly exists or not, I don't know.
That's crazy.
But the building does.
Downtown LA has some sinister vibes, man.
For sure.
Whoa.
I think I just spit. For sure it does. So then we jump back in the car. Oh, you say in commentary that when we jump back in the car and we're taking off that somebody yelled, Paris Hilton. So again, we're getting accused of being Paris Hilton.
I feel like people in LA thought that any blonde was Paris Hilton.
Yeah. So then the next scene, it's outside the mansion. We're ready for the Halloween party.
What? Another Easter egg. They focus in on another one of the tombstones out front. And it says, Arban, died a lonely man. And that is the tombstone of our friend Dickie Ban, a.k.a. Richard Ban. And I think they put died a lonely man because he was always very single.
Yes. Yes. In an interview, Holly says, the Playboy Halloween party is without question the best Halloween party held in history of mankind, and Hef loves it, and he loves the monsters.
It might be the best Halloween party up to that time in mankind, because I don't know any other ones.
I don't either. I think it is.
Who put a Darth Vader mask on Archie?
Did
you see that?
Yes.
That's weird. They do a whole montage where they really do a good job focusing in on like all the props and decor, and you get to see a really detailed view of all the stuff.
Yeah, and they have Dave from Scare Factory. He creates a lot of that stuff.
Oh, was he the one working on the Raven?
No, but that's one of the people that he hires to do all that stuff. But no, Dave was out by the haunted house and was talking to Hef about everything. Like, they do an incredible job. It was when I went to the Halloween convention, they were one of my favorite spots to go and
that's so cool.
Check out their booth because they always had like the coolest shit in there.
Well, that's awesome. And then it shows me photographing you in a coffin and I'm like, smile or don't. And you're like, I'm comfortable here.
I love that photo. And I was so excited to do that. And you say in commentary that you showed that to your sister. And she said that it was, what'd she say? She was unsettled by it.
She probably was.
And then Kendra says she passed out in that coffin the night of the party, the Halloween party.
Do you believe that? I find it hard to believe that anybody would leave somebody in there.
I do too. That's what she says in commentary.
Do you think she's joking?
I don't know. I don't know.
And all the Halloween party footage they're showing, of course, is from the previous year. Because by the time this airs, we obviously haven't had our Halloween party that year. And isn't it funny? Because like, I don't remember if it was this year or like the last Halloween. But we're like freaking out in one of the commentaries about how all the fans were calling us out because you're using last year's footage. But what else were we supposed to use? We can't jump into the future and use.
Right.
So silly.
That is true. So Kendra dressed up as G.I. Jane.
You know what I noticed about them showing all of us getting dressed in our costumes?
Nudity?
Yeah, I can tell that as we're filming this, it's old footage from season one because we're a lot less careful with our nudity. Not that you don't see nudity, especially when we're shooting our pictorials in season two and on. But we're so uncareful that it's almost, you know, we're dead smack in the middle of season two and I'm watching this Halloween episode and it's almost jarring how Kendra's just standing there with her tits out getting painted.
And then me too.
And you're getting painted blue for Corpse Bride and your tits are out. And then I'm putting on a costume in your room and my tits are out. It's just we're a lot more careless the way we were in season one. Like we haven't kind of like zipped up.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I remember getting spray painted and it just would not dry forever. And I was like freaking out because like you can't do anything. Like you can't sit, you can't touch anything. And like I want to start getting ready, but like I can't. And I remember I was sitting on the floor talking to you guys and like get up and I was like, oh shit. And you're like, what? I'm like, I got blue on the carpet.
Oh no.
Good thing I was getting rid of it soon.
You were very ahead of your time with cosplay because I feel like people will find any excuse to do costumes now, whether it's for social media or whatever. But I feel like back then, like doing a whole body paint under your costume was like very unusual.
Yeah. Yeah, it was hardcore. So yeah, I'm getting ready to be Corpse Bride. I'm like, I feel like I'm kind of bummed for a second because I'm like, this is not sexy.
That's so funny.
But I think I pulled it off as sexy.
Yeah, totally.
But I said, this is not sexy. This is Smurf.
Corpse Bride is a sexy character. Like her silhouette is goals in that movie.
Yeah. And you say you decide to be Cinderella because she's one of your favorite Disney princesses. And then they show the scene where you're talking about where you don't have your corset on, but you're like, can you help me with this when you're done? And I say, yeah. But then it shows Kendra getting all ready and dressed. And it shows me getting all ready and dressed in final touches. And then it cuts back to you still holding your corset. And you're like,
oh, and I'm going, doo, 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 doo.
Yeah, wait, still, funny. It makes it look like everybody else is ready and about to go down. God, and we totally forgot about Holly needed to get put under her corset. I think it's funny, though.
And then when the party gets started, you see Mr. Kevin Burns exit a car. Is he supposed to, I know he's supposed to be like a Lon Chaney character. Is he Lon Chaney Phantom of the Opera or is he London After Midnight?
Oh, I thought for sure it was Phantom of the Opera.
It must be. It's one of those.
Yeah.
And they show, okay, so they're showing celebrities. So can you guess who they're going to show?
I feel like we don't even have to say it. They already know who they're going to show.
Bill Maher.
Paris Hilton.
And you know what they did that I thought was kind of fucked up?
What?
They show Paris and Nikki, but they do this special effect overlay that looks like a night vision camcorder. And I felt like that was such a sex tape reference. Because remember, Paris's sex tape was all like that green night. I'm like, that's kind of fucked up.
I did not notice they did that.
Yeah, because I truly don't believe Paris's sex tape was something she put out or wanted out. And I feel like it's kind of fucked up that they did that.
Yeah.
Ew.
Interesting.
We see another Captain Morgan shot.
You're good at catching those. I just right over them. But you talk about how Halloween is a favorite party for celebrities to show up because they can dress in costume and not be harassed. And then it shows Tobey Maguire and Leonardo DiCaprio wearing the old man costumes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think celebrities felt a lot more comfortable at Halloween because they didn't have to like be on display all the time.
And then in commentary, we say that this year, the year we're actually like in 2006, that they came as monkeys and started breakdancing on the dance floor. And we have footage of it.
That's so funny.
And then I start talking about, this is crazy because I did not remember this until I heard it in the commentary. I say, yeah, well, I'm going to look for that footage because I have to watch it anyway. I'm going to find the girl who stole my pizza and identify her and get her banned.
Stole your pizza?
Not mine. It was all of ours. So Hef wanted pizza.
At the party table?
Brought out to the party table, like one of those DiGiorno type things that we used to get. And so I ordered it to come out and it gets set down at our table and some girl comes over and fucking steals the pizza.
Just grabs the whole pizza?
Grabs the whole pizza and her friend are just shoving it into their mouths like before anybody can take it from them. And this is such a bitch thing to do because there is whole spreads of food sitting out everywhere.
Right.
So it's not like people are starving and need something to eat. Like there's tons of food being put out. And this was a pizza for our table, but for Hef at his house.
Wow. That's kind of unheard of because I feel like usually people were so on their best behavior around the Hef table.
Yeah.
But we had some ravenous women.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like when I remember that, I get pissed off again. Like, stuff like that really pisses me off.
I wish I would have seen it because I feel like I need the real life visual.
Well, I feel like I found it on the footage and then showed them who she was, which girl it was. I don't know if I found her stealing the pizza, but I found, like, I knew what that at the time what the girl looked like and I was able to point her out and get her banned.
Oh, my God. Were we getting Campisi's pizza by this time?
I don't know, but
can
I
you
wish...
just taste a Campisi's yes, pizza?
And I wish I could have it right
I
now.
Need an excuse to go to Dallas soon so we can interview Amber and get Campisi's pizza.
Yes, let's do it. Yeah, my mouth's watery now.
Yeah.
Anyway, then it shows us going to the haunted house. And there's like a weird mixture of footage in here. They like kind of cut to two different things. Like part of it's from a media night mm-hmm. and part of it's from the actual Halloween night.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes back and forth. And I'm talking about how the clowns are the scariest part. You know what? Clowns don't really scare me, but people are always looking for like, what's the scariest thing? What scares you? And if I have to think of something that I think is the creepiest, I pick clowns. But it's not like I'm so scared of clowns. But I feel like I have to play it up because everybody wants me to be afraid of something.
I know what you mean. And I feel like if you saw like a creepy clown in real life where a creepy clown was not supposed to be, that probably would be the most frightening thing ever.
For sure. Sure.
But it's the same way because like Zach was always talking publicly about how afraid he was of clowns, but he also kind of, he loves everything scary
yeah.
and loves clown shit. And when we were together, like I would get him all kinds of creepy clown stuff all the time. So people would be chiming in on my social media if they would see evidence of that and being like, why are you getting that for Zach? Don't you know he hates clowns? And it's hard to explain. It's like a love hate.
It is. Yeah. And it's like, do I really even hate them though?
Or it's like scared, but not really. I don't know. It's like hard to explain.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure any of us, if we were like out on like a country road and a guy dressed up as a clown came out of nowhere, that would be the most terrifying thing.
For sure.
But when you see like a scary clown prop, we're not like running for the hills.
Yeah, totally. But it's always a good spot to plant an actual actor, like have a room full of like mm-hmm. fake clowns. And then I usually know that one of these is going to be real. And yeah. It's hard to tell which one. So it does give me the jump scare that they're looking for. So there's that too. And then in an interview, Kendra says the ring room was her favorite part of the whole haunted house. And then they make the phone ring next to her,
ooh.
Which I think was funny.
Yeah.
But the ring room, you guys, they did such a good job on this part of the haunted house. Like you walk into this room that looks like it's just a living room with like a big screen TV. And then all of a sudden the lights go out. Oh, and I think there's just fuzz playing on the TV. And then all of a sudden the lights go out. And then the next thing you know, the lights kind of flicker back on and the girl's crawling out of the TV. And
yeah, it was good.
You. And she's all the ring girl. Mm-hmm. It was really good.
And they show footage of us doing that weird green screen
the
thing.
The dancing heads.
Where you lip sync along and it puts you on like an animated dancing body, which you look at that now and you're like, stupid, who cares? But back then, like people really got a kick out of that kind of shit.
I still get a kick out of it. I think they're so funny. I love like jib jabs and stuff.
Jib jab.
I do. I love that shit.
I can relate because I still am really into like at Spaceship Earth at Epcot. They take your picture at the beginning of the ride and they have you take a poll and then they show you an animation. And I'm always still excited to see what my face comes up looking like from the camera.
Yeah.
So I can relate, I guess.
In an interview, I say nothing beats the Halloween party here at the Playboy Mansion. It's to die for.
To die for.
And then again, we start talking about spending the night at the Winchester House or the Whaley House mm-hmm. in commentary.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is Ghouls. Girls will be ghouls.
Yes, best and worst.
The best for me is almost everything. Like, I love that we got to do another Halloween episode because, mm-hmm. of course, it's my jam. I loved meeting Elvira. I mean, if I have to pick the very, very best, that's probably what it is.
Yeah.
But even, you know, I can't leave Scott Michaels out, too. We're good friends to this day.
It's just fun once you've built a friendship with a person to have that evidence on camera of the first time you ever met. Like the other episode where it's like, oh, that's cool. That's the first time we met John Gray. You know, it's funny.
Right. And in this episode, there's two people that I met for mm-hmm. the first time that I stayed friends with. And even George Barris, you know, working with him and stuff. Because I feel like not everybody gets to have something customized on their car by George Barris.
Yeah, totally.
You know, so that's a really cool thing. So, and I even think Tony is so fun. I don't think he got enough playtime, but if you guys saw him for real, like he's
funny.
Fun.
Yeah.
So two people with like a big zest for life in that.
We love enthusiastic
people.
Because
Marty and Tony are both like mm-hmm. over the top.
My type of folk.
Yeah. What's your best?
I mean, there's a lot I like in this episode. This is one of my favorite episodes out of season two. I think the Halloween episodes are always super fun. Love my costume, but I think my favorite thing is just that it shows us kind of reenacting the ghost in the gym.
Yeah.
Because you get to see like the entrance to the secret passage, you get to see the closet pop open. It's just, that's a story I tell so many times and it's fun to have like not the real footage of when it happened, of course, but something pretty close. Talking about it back then and kind of walking through and showing the gym. And I like that that's captured.
Yeah. Oh, I have another best. My costume. Because this, when people ask me, what was your favorite costume you ever wore at the mansion? This is usually my go-to.
The corpse bride.
I love it. Worst?
Worst for me is the pumpkin night scene, just because it's very unoriginal and it's like a rehash of the Easter egg scene. It's very, I feel like no effort was put into it. It's that same old gag and I'm over it.
Yeah.
It was a waste of time, really.
Yeah. I don't feel like the pumpkin carving party was, just the way they shot it or the way they edited it.
Yeah, the little plot. Yeah.
My worst is my room not being decorated when
The Elvira weird inconsistency.
Like, I do such a good job on it that year and she doesn't see it. Like, yeah, if there's anybody I would really have wanted to see it, it would have been her. So
yeah,
that's a bummer.
But overall, great episode. Not a lot to complain about.
Yeah, I think it's fun.
Awesome. So if you guys would like more content, pictures from our haunted tour and shit, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. And we'll see you guys next week.
Oh, yeah, you guys, I have so many pictures. I have stacks from this. So
I love it.
Bye, guys.
Bye.